Hello and welcome to another round of the Mirage Profiles. I'm Tim and I'm sitting here with Gabriel Scherer. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, here we are in Marrakesh, sitting in this nice space. And I talk to people who are here. And have you been here for the first time?
Yeah, it's my first time here.
But you've heard of this event before.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
What did you hear before?
That is nice. I know Hannes. I wanted to come last time already, but I was in Boston for a postdoc, so it was a bit too far of a trip for me. Mm-hmm. Now I'm based in Paris and it's closer, so I decided to come this time.
You are from France, I guess. Yeah. So tell me, what was your introduction to programming in your life? How did you start programming?
So I started programming thanks to a math teacher I had in high school that came to me and told me, oh, I think you would be interested in that. And there happened to be a computer club in the high school, so you should go talk to these people. And I came and they set me up to learn some programming, and I was basically hooked.
Mm-hmm. What kind of programming did you do then?
That's a good question. So the people there were interested in learning about algorithmics. They were participating in some of these competitions where you have to solve problems very fast. I was not really convinced by this part, but there was one of them that was actually using KEMO, the programming language that is maybe at the core here in the Mirage event in Marrakech. It's an older version of KEMO called KEMO Lite. And he told me, oh, this language, it looks a bit like math, so you may be interested, you should try it. And again, I was hooked, and I've been using Camel and OCaml as my main programming language ever since.
So you are doing this for a long time now?
Yeah, it's been more than 10 years.
Have you ever looked into other programming languages then?
Yeah, of course. So my profession is a programming language researcher, in the sense that I'm doing research, a bit theoretical, about programming languages. And I came to do that because I was fascinated by the activity of programming and programming languages as object to use, to think about, to design. So although I use OCaml most of the time for my personal programming, I spend some time learning about other programming languages. What they are doing right, what can be learned from them, and so on. Also just to get different ideas, inspiration from something that is hopefully very different. Looking at many different programming languages is part of what I like to do, and I managed to turn into a job.
But your heart is with ML?
Yes, I would say so, yeah.
What other languages have inspired you? What do you think are other language environments and communities that might have value even for the future of ML itself?
So within the ML community, there are several sub-communities that are doing a lot of nice work. We had a discussion this morning about F#, for example, on the nice things they looked at. Outside the ML community, the closest one is Haskell. And although I almost never write Haskell code myself, I almost would consider myself a part of the Haskell community. I read what people do, and I engage in discussion with the Haskell people, the designers, the users, and they manage to create a nice and friendly community that I'm happy to be part of from a distance. I think probably if I was not using OCaml, I would probably be a Haskell programmer actually. I think it's also important to keep in touch with language that are, in a sense, more different. So I was telling earlier in the week that I found that logic programming languages like Prolog were quite interesting. When you first see them, they are very different from the usual way you think about programming, and that's a very enlightening experience.
You mean the declarative approach to programming?
Yes. I'm not completely convinced by declarative when used in this sense, and my experience actually using Prolog is that it's not as declarative as you might think. But at least let's say that the relation between the text of the program and the meaning of the program is of a different nature than what it is in ML languages or in C or Java. which actually are closer to each other in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also it's interesting to see, so the programming languages have big ideas, but then there is a lot of things that are not in the language themselves, as in like the reference manual, the semantics or the type system and so on. They are tools and they are communities and the patterns they develop, the mode of interaction. So for example, the Lisp community has done a lot of nice things, and right now there is a fairly active community around Clojure. And even though I'm not a Clojure programmer, and I'm not sure I would enjoy using Clojure, I'm more of a statically type person. I'm looking at the kind of things they do in terms of interactive programming and so on, and I think it's quite interesting.
They also have a glorious leader in Rich Hickey with his really funny talks he's giving and presentations, and in general how he thinks about programming. I mean, I always find it fascinating when attaching to programming language communities, what is driving them, what their general thinking behind programming is, how they view the way they approach their own stuff. And I think you're right that in the Lisp community, at least in the Clojure community, they're really looking at the problems that exist today and how to solve them and how to move on, not only by providing better code yourself, but to kind of fix the system, fix the language, and fix the environment.
Yeah, I think another example that shows that, in a sense, the language is far from everything is Ruby. Ruby is a language that I personally don't find very attractive, but the community there managed to maintain a kind of some joyful spirit that is, I find, quite impressive. And there is so it's also the thing that languages, when they are very different, they can attract very diverse people to them and so on. And in the Ruby community had the chance of having some people that see programming as an artistic activity and do very fun things with it. So, I think it's interesting to have so many different programming languages to see what people do with them and which kind of people get attracted to them.
Yeah, and I think it's important to have fun with your own stuff. I always admire Java programmers for keeping up with the language, although I don't see much things that produce fun at all. So talking about this event, so it's the first time. What was your experience so far?
Oh, it's very good. I love meeting people that I know and people that I don't know, getting to hear from them. It's so when before you come, you think, a whole week focused on a topic, there will be so much stuff getting done. Of course, it's always, you have to balance working, discussing with people, also some enjoyment, of course, of the location. I had the opportunity to walk around the old city a couple times, and this is quite fascinating as well. So I would say not that much gets done as maybe you would expect. The connections with the people and the fact of learning at a deeper level what they care about, what they are working on, is quite invaluable.
So tell me how you first discovered Mirage and what do you think its role is?
So I think I learned about Mirage from Anil and Hannes. In the OCaml community, I work on the language implementation. I work at a level that is kind of more basic than what most people interested in Mirage are doing, and it's kind of one of the sub communities of the language that were built up and that I could watch building, and that I think is quite fascinating. I would say what struck my attention with Mirage is, and also comes back to this discussion we had about communities, is that it attracted to the practice of OCaml a very different crowd from the one I was used to. In my research, I met many people that are doing static analysis, type system, theorem proving, which I find are fascinating topics. And now with Mirage, you could see people from the systems community look at OCaml and work on... I had never thought there would be a DHCP library in OCaml, for example, and I find that completely wonderful. And they are looking at the language from a perspective and with applications in mind that are completely different from what I expected. And that makes me very happy to be among them working in that with that group.
Do you think this kind of activity around an operating system is improving the language in the long run?
Certainly so. So I think Hannes is asking some of the right question when I had discussion with him. So for example, OCaml being used in large part by people from the, I would say, formal methods community. When you first hear about people doing systems programming, a question you ask yourself is, are they expecting to do proofs and so on of the system they are building? And in fact, the different community looks at it from a different perspective. So with Mirage, there is the idea that maybe you could verify the programs, but the main activity is to build them and to ensure that they are correct and secure through maybe more classic good engineering practices. And the impact on the language is to look at corners that were not so well explored before. So, for example, there is a very nice connection between Mirage and the work on fuzzing in OCaml that is unbuilding right now with the work of Stephen Dolan and Mindy Preston. And I think that's a corner of the language that would not have been explored as much probably if there were not people interested in this kind of system programming, and is going to benefit all OCaml programmers, certainly, and also we may learn things that are interesting to other communities. Anil may have mentioned the work on algebraic effects, for example, or effect handlers, which are techniques that come from the programming language research community, not specifically developed by people related to OCaml, but has been taken up within the OCaml community by people that are interested in doing systems programming. So you have a meeting of very theoretical ideas coming from the work on understanding side effects in programming language and very practical needs of writing asynchronous programs and so on. And that's very beautiful, and I think both sides are getting improved by this interaction.
Mm-hmm. How is a typical system debugging activity like fuzzing impacting language design?
That's a difficult question. I would say at first you would think not that much because fuzzing works with a given language implementation, and it sounds kind of orthogonal to the semantics of the language. But when you look at the details, actually the answer is way more interesting than that. So the first thing is in OCaml. One question you get asked is how precise and how deterministic is the language semantics? For example, in OCaml, we have some part of the evaluation order of the language that are unspecified. And this, I think, is now recognized to be a mistake, and people would rather have a fully specified evaluation order. And that is something that comes up in the work on fuzzing, for example, because for example, if you try to fuzz the compiler, but also when you make runs on existing program, the question of what exactly are the possible behavior of a program become fairly important. And then there are also implementation details that, so for example, this work on fuzzing using AFL fuzz is done using a rather low-level tool developed first for C program that works by instrumenting the way the compiled binary runs, and there are questions of how higher level language features that affect the control flow of the program interact with the fuzzing mechanism, and that sometimes suggest changes at least to the implementation if not the specification. So I think there are interactions, and we are only beginning to find out what they are. But in general, they go in the direction of forcing us to be more explicit, more precise about the language and its programs.
I think your own work is more focused on the compiler of OCaml. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
What's your part in this?
My activity on the OCaml compiler is almost a hobby, in the sense that it started out quite clearly as a hobby, and right now it's I'm not sure whether it's part of my professional activity or mostly a hobby. I did my PhD thesis in the research group has some of the main maintainers of the language today. So the group of people maintaining the language is diverse. There are some people in Europe, people in Japan, in academia, in industry. But there is kind of a core group that can be traced to a research group in France, where some members are still there, Damien Doliger and Xavier Leroy. I was working there and I started contributing a bit on very easy things. And then, at the time, one of the complaints that people receive from the outside is the development of the language implementation. It's an open source software, but the development itself is not so open. It's hard for people from the outside to contribute, to manage to write patches, to have the patches reviewed, accepted, to get feedback, and so on. And I cared very much about open source software already, and I was interested in language implementations. So I tried to help a bit by encouraging people to submit patches and do some reviews and try to convince the maintainers to integrate some things and so on, and that worked. So then other people started saying, well, we should have a wider movement of opening up the development. So for example, it was discussed and eventually it was done to migrate from an SVN repo to a Git repo. It's now on GitHub, and that also encouraged people to contribute. And what I spent most of my time doing is actually still reviewing other people change proposals and making decision of them. So at first I was giving feedback and then trying to find a maintainer that could decide to accept or reject it. And after some while, I became a maintainer myself. So now I get also to make the decision, which is a responsibility that is not always simple. But so I'm not an expert in one fixed given part of the OCaml compiler. And I would say the very advanced technical parts, I have a kind of more shallow understanding of the thing, because I'm looking at what other people try to change or want to change and trying to help them in this contribution process. And it's quite enjoyable. It lets you see a lot of different parts of the piece. And I think, of course, I'm not alone in making this effort of reviewing and so on, but collectively we managed to change the dynamics. And now the language implementation itself has a, I think, relatively vibrant contributor ecosystem, and people that contribute out of personal interest, and I enjoy that very much.
So you're not only contributing code, you're also contributing community work, which makes such a project alive, because code for itself is nothing if it doesn't live on. Same, I think, is true for this meeting here. What are your experiences so far? And would you recommend coming if it happens the next time?
I think it's a very nice event, and I hope to be able to attend again in the future. Maybe not every time, because I think it's important to let also new people come, and that there is a mix. But I hope to come from time to time. The finding out what people's problems are, trying to give them a hand, look at whether some changes in my work could help them, or helping them with their work, and also the community building aspect of meeting so many people, and is very interesting.
Okay, Gabriel, I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Contribution, and goodbye.